Just came back from I just came back from the riot. You know, I actually got injured during the riot. My police helmet was chafing my head.
Yeah, did you steal it from a car?
Yeah, that is correct.
Did you guys see that post going around where somebody was like, "This is my sister's boyfriend," after protesters threw rocks at him, and it's just like a cop who's like kind of winded, holding his helmet in his hand.
I'm supposed to be crying or something. That's what I like to imagine anyway. That he's like, "It's so hard being a cop. I don't like it."
That reminds me of something we talked about on one of our first episodes. There was that Twitter post where some woman was like, "This is my son. He's a Navy SEAL. He's 23 years old and this tall, and he's an eligible bachelor.
He's a big piece of
shit." It was like, he's afraid of dating because of Me Too. Hashtag into. And then that guy the next day energy. Was like, "No, actually, I support Me Too, and I'm not afraid of dating. My mom just made that up."
I feel like we should mash that up with the Navy SEAL copypasta. So it's like, "Actually, my son is a single Navy SEAL, and what the fuck did you just say to him, you little bitch? I'll have you know he has over 23 confirmed kills."
Yeah, you know who else has over 23 confirmed kills?
Me.
The police. Oh, yeah. That's right, folks. It's the riot episode.
All right, so let's get into it. We haven't spoke to you really. So the last time we talked about this, George Floyd, I think, was murdered that day or the day before.
Something like that.
And one day difference.
Obviously, things have gotten much crazier and will continue to get much crazier. By the time you hear this, I'm sure there will be lots of things that we didn't cover, and we will cover them on the regular episode. Because this, what has happened is, as you know, probably if you're listening to this on the behind the paywall, is that Minnesota protested like crazy, went a little bit wild with it, got a little nutty with it. And they burned down a cop car. And this was so inspiring to so many people who are fed up with all of the things we've been talking about on this show for almost 2 years now, that almost every major city around the country has decided to have very litty protests. And they are doing it all over. And it's feeling like, I think, let's just quickly get an overview. How are we feeling? Like, because for me, I feel like I've never seen anything like this in my life. I mean, the last time we saw like cop cars on fire was Ferguson, and that was a very big like cultural thing, but really nothing has changed since Ferguson. And I think in the past 4 years, we've seen the contradictions of capitalism becoming extremely highlighted and unavoidable in people's lives. And then we've also seen the rise of the idea of socialism, at least the word socialism, becoming more acceptable. The ideas of abolishing ICE, of abolishing police, of abolishing, you know, all these ideas have been more mainstreamed. And so now something like this happens, something more visceral, where we have the highest unemployment numbers since the Great Depression. We have 30% unemployment. People have just decided to fucking lose it. And this feels more like a nationwide revolt or insurgency or uprising, whatever word you want to say, than, you know, a sort of popping of a pustule of anger. It feels sort of more sustained.
Well, there's like over 100 cities engaging in protests and riots and whatever you want to call it. You know, it's taking different forms all over the place. And like Ferguson was monumental. It was a huge moment in American history, but I feel like the reaction to it was still pretty localized. This is like a national event with a capital E. Like Mm-hmm. I feel like no matter where you live, unless you're like really far from an urban center, you're getting like the hair on the back of your neck is standing up, you know, mm-hmm. like yeah, there's an electricity in the air.
And before we go any further, I've seen takes that from kind of both sides doing both hyper woke and reactionary ID poll takes on this, where it's like, oh, somebody says, oh, well, you know, this is about Black Lives Matter first and foremost, and anybody co-opting this to be anti-capitalist is a class reductionist. And then on the other side, you have people who are like, this is about capitalism and capitalism only. And for the most part, if you're concerned with like the ID poll angle of the protests, you're completely missing the point. What's going on right now is plainly anti-capitalist and pro-Black lives, because if there's a massive uprising against the police, that's a massive uprising against basically the prison guards of the open air prison that we live in under capitalism. So yeah. By their very nature, Black Lives Matter protests are anti-capitalists and have a incredibly important class element to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, just by the very fact that the way that racism and capitalism have intertwined for so long and become dependent on each other in so many facets, like at this point, for the majority of American history, all of American history, they've been built on one another. But like, I get it. Like, if you're somebody who wants this to be like a moment for Black people to lead and to really get their voice, and it feels like, you know, like maybe a bunch of white anarchists or white people with USSR flags are showing up at your event, and it's kind of sending mixed messages, and it's not like, I get that, but the part that really worries me is when the police start using that narrative, yeah. right? Oh, yeah. It was white anarchists torching cars. Oh, it was,
yeah,
these,
because that's not the
then
case.
What they're saying is like, white people, please don't show up for Black events anymore. Self-segregate, yeah. so that we don't have to segregate you by force, and it makes it yeah. easier for us to attack Black people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they are using reactionary id poll to diminish the class character of the protests, where there are people, white, Black, I don't care if you're purple, you're welcome at these you're welcome at these protests. And,
well, I think,
and the narrative that it's only white anarchists or outside agitators doing violence is bullshit, because we have all seen
yes.
the yeah. videos. We have seen videos of people of all backgrounds, of all races, stealing shit, looting shit, and it is all good. If you yeah. loot, I don't care if you loot some diapers for your child or a pair of fucking Rick Owens during the looting. It's good, because you are challenging the relation of capital to you as a subject of capital.
That's right.
The most poetic thing I've ever seen in my life happened during the fucking protests on Saturday, when I was walking back into downtown, and I was going up to the front of the fight, like on Smithfield Street with the cops, and they started throwing tear gas canisters, so I ran away. And when I got to the next block down, I saw that a convenience store had, you know, been bricked through the door, and one guy was just standing next to another dude. He was like, I bet I can reach in and unlock this. The other dude was like, you should try it, and he does. And then like 15 people on the sidewalk are all like, oh, did you just open up the convenience store? I'm getting some snacks. And they just like swarmed in there. And like, the convenience store is the most trivial place that has the most trivial things. But just like the sheer joy of people finally getting to have something when they've been, you know, denied by either the dollar or by racism access to these things for so much of their lives. It was like, it was like watching a bunch of kids go out to recess.
Yeah. Like, well, and it's like, I think you're completely right, Todd, in that the idea that there is some direct line of like, this is Black people's opinion, is incredibly racist.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
the idea that only white anarchists are interested in ending capital or abolishing police is deeply racist against black people.
Yeah, also, like the idea that there's wouldn't be any black people who were like, you know, I'm so angry at the genocide from police over hundreds of years that I want to burn a cop car. Like, it's infantilizing. Of course, there's lots of black people who want to murder cops and burn cop cars and
take over police stations. Right, but there's gonna be you know, black people who also disagree with that, who are, who want to have peaceful, you know. And honestly, most of them are going to be the ones who own black businesses and are and like this played out really funny. Just yesterday, we were talking about Virgil Abloh, who is the artistic director and designer for Louis Vuitton and Off-White. A store, a resale store, a store that doesn't actually make anything. It's just a store that sells other people's work for more money, called Round Two, owned by Sean Witherspoon, who did have a collab with Nike. His store got fucked up in Virginia, and Virgil Abloh was like, this is absurd and bad, and you know, nobody should do this. And
yeah, he was like, streetwear, I hope you look at the stolen shoes and feel shame and disgust at a person that would do that or something.
That's
insane.
So like,
if you ever like, see Sean, I hope you hang your head. I hope you have the decency to hang your head.
Virgil can ab-blow these nuts.
Right. But the crazy thing is, before, after we talked about that, one thing I saw was fucking Sean Witherspoon, a white guy who owns Round Two, the store that got fucked up, was on Instagram being like, this is cool, actually. Do not worry about my store. It is absolutely the last thing we should be worried about. Fuck the police.
That's awesome.
That's right. That's
like, and it's that, like, you know, Mark, what's his name?
Mark Jacobs.
Mark Jacobs was saying this thing, like, my store got broken into. Fuck it. Who cares? Like, this is important right now. So I feel like if even like white fashion designers are like, you know what, actually, this is, don't worry about it. Like
the petite bourgeois kind of guys, like people who like in theory are like on the side of the cops, even they are like, you know what, I think the cops are fucked up. They shouldn't do this.
Right.
Hold on. There needs to be a distinction made here, because if you're privileged enough where it's like, loot my store, whatever, claim insurance and I can appear woke on social media, it's like those people are still not your friends. They're still petite bourgeois, or just regular bourgeois. They own businesses, they exploit people's labor,
but at
they're not good, but at least they're not gonna like, it's tough because I think genuinely, if you're somebody who was come from a working class background and you made it big and now you're rich and own a store, maybe there is like a dimension of, okay, yeah, I get it. But if you're just a rich person your whole life who's had everything handed to you and you're doing this for woke points, and so that black people will still patronize your establishments after the rioting is done, then you're a piece of shit. But it's really hard to tell.
Well, and it's also totally. Like in the moment that it's happening, it doesn't matter. Like, we have to remember that and have that nuance afterwards. But like, anybody who's on our side right this second, like, feel free to like fucking share their stuff and or at least like point to them as an example. Like that guy whose camera shop burned down in Chicago and he was like, we'll rebuild it bigger and better. You know, it doesn't matter to me right now. But like, I don't know. I don't want to split hairs too much, because right now is a moment of rallying and a lot of people are going to get radicalized by this. Like, a lot of people are, I mean, shit, I was already radicalized and this is like feeling real to me in a way that politics has never felt real to me before. I know that's happening to like weird liberals and random small business owners who are suddenly feeling guilt, and like mall cops who are like, did getting hired as a security guard make me just a cop light? You know, like these conversations are going on in people's heads all across America. And they're really important, and we don't know what the outcome of them is going to be.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting the way, like, the riots and the, like, looting have been playing out, because, like, it's possible, but I feel like I've basically heard nothing about anyone looting, like, individual people's houses. So it's, like, it's very clear that people are, like, recognizing, like, okay, a corporation like Target going in and taking the stuff from the shelves that I want without paying for it is a completely victimless crime, and we should all do it. And, you know, people have talked about how in Minneapolis there were certain businesses, like the queer bookstore, where they didn't touch it. Like, local restaurants, they didn't burn them down, or they, like, wrote minority
Waffle
business.
House?
Oh, it was Waffle House? Fine, I didn't read that.
Yeah, there was literally a circle of black people protecting the Waffle House. Shouts out.
Yeah, so, like, the way that even in this very, like, crude, very emotional, like, just we're in the middle of a riot and we're going to act against the forces of capital, that it like, I feel like is already falling in a way that is like very precise, where it's like corporations, huge faceless companies, we don't give a fuck about them. We're going to burn them down and take all the stuff out of them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're saying, Todd, it's like pretty silly to say that this is like just a Black Lives Matter protest or just a capitalism protest, because it's like people reacting against that entire intertwined system.
Right. Well, it's also just absurd to even try and separate them normally. Like when we, before this, before we weren't, you know, like the idea that cops aren't a force for capital mm-hmm. is absurd. Like the only purpose of cops is to protect property.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like it's an institution that was developed and continues to persist in that form that it was developed in during a time when people were considered property if they had a certain color skin. So,
and if you think about the fact that the night that it actually happened, when they burned the Target down and looted it, the cops in Minneapolis, hundreds of them were at this murderer cop's house. This was before he got arrested. They were protecting his house. And that it shows that like the only thing that cops value more than protecting property is protecting one of their own, especially mm-hmm. when he has committed a crime as heinous as murder. So by looting and setting the Target on fire, they have pointed out that contradiction. So I would say that looting and burning the Target is actually a perhaps unintentional but very poignant message to both of the people of Minneapolis and the rest of the country, and about the contradictions in our own policing system.
Yeah, well, it's like
and
you
extremely
know,
rational.
If we wanted, like, they should be glad we're just looting, right? Like after everything that like Black people and poor people more broadly have like had to fucking deal with in this country for so long, like. We could be bringing handguns to these protests. We could be showing up, all of us armed, 4 and 5 and 10,000 at a time. But we don't, because there's something intrinsic about the value of a human life to us. And even though we hate cops, a lot of us are like, yeah, I would kill a cop if I had to, but I would find it really distasteful to have to kill another human being. That's not the level that the fucking cops are on. And we're showing our fucking humanity by just robbing Target, by just chucking some bricks while you're throwing smoke grenades and shooting rubber bullets at us. Like, that's you getting off fucking light. I'm convinced that this is like the preamble to what's really about to go down. And it might not be directly after this, but sometime in the next few months, it's going to happen.
Well, why do you think that the violence hasn't escalated that much? I mean, we've seen a couple instances, like I've seen protesters lose their eye getting shot with a rubber bullet. Mm-hmm. People get their arms broken, and during arrests, people get charged with felonies. And there have been a couple isolated instances of people getting killed by police, whether it was with live fire ammunition or just a poorly placed. And I use that term lightly because a lot of these cops use fucking protesters as target practice, a poorly placed non-lethal round. But we haven't really seen a lot of people killed. Now, as I honestly was surprised to find that, because as soon as I heard the National Guard was being called into a lot of these cities, I was like, oh, well here we go. It's going to be Kent State. It's going to be a fucking bloodbath. But that hasn't happened. And I honestly think that they know that if that does happen, then we're headed, we're over the roller coaster first hill and we're hurtling unstoppably towards America, Civil War II, Electric Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't use the Boogaloo part lightly.
Well, the thing is, like, if the protests in the rest of the country were anything like they were in Pittsburgh, like in Pittsburgh, we started off super fucking peaceful, and they told us like, don't be violent, don't engage in any property damage.
The cops
don't,
told
like,
you that?
No, the fucking organizers. They were like, we're gonna walk around, we're gonna chant, we're gonna block traffic, you know, and like, you know, white people, we need you to follow Black people's lead on this. And by and large, the crowd was ready to do it, but like, whether this like guy was a cop that lit the car on fire, whether it was just some kid who like just went off because there was an unguarded cop car mysteriously in the path of the protesters or whatever. As soon as there was a burning cop car, like, the dialectic was in motion and the crowd was super invigorated, and there was nothing that was going to stop that second burning cop car from happening. There was nothing that was going to stop, like, the protests breaking up into like four or five groups and roving around downtown, because you feel that pent up rage let out for even a second, and it's really hard to put the fucking cat back in the bag.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that kind of thing is, because we know for a fact that there's been cop cars on fire by the cops. Like,
yes,
that's on video. The cops are setting their own cop cars on fire. And I was just thinking about this before we started. Like, I feel like this might be a bad calculation on their part. Like, I think they're playing by a rule book. I think they're playing by a rule book. They're not talking to each other as much as you think they are. Like, I don't think, like, interstate police officers are, like, really organizing exactly. And I think that there's something that they're playing by a rule book that happened in Ferguson and maybe before that.
Like in LA, like Rodney King. Yeah, riots, yeah. Whatever.
Where it's like, oh, well, if people see these rowdy, violent black people, you know, burning their own towns and lighting, you know, cop cars on fire, then they'll give us like permission to, like, I guess like the support for them will drop.
Right.
I guess.
Because those riots were sort of like localized it was like in Ferguson, like everyone was so mad that a cop wasn't convicted that they started rioting. Like it happened with Philando Castile. Same way back with Rodney King, like in that community, people protested and rioted. But this feels like the first time that just like spontaneously in other cities, like tons of people in Brooklyn for no specific reason. Obviously, there's 100,000 reasons to protest the cops, but not having a flashpoint of like someone, you know, getting off for murdering someone, just being like, you know what? Fuck cops in general. And we should have a protest and we should riot. Well,
it's like it's the last straw, right? Like police brutality and police racism has been more and more widely publicized, and it's grown to the point where like I feel like a really large section of the American populace just flat out does not trust the police. And like
they're right to.
They're absolutely it's a correct position to have, but like I think you're right, Bryn. The police are relying on like 10, 20, 30 years ago standards of like, well, you know, like 80% of people will still defend the cops no matter what,
right,
even higher if they're white. But that's like, that's gone. Popular culture does not work with that anymore.
Yeah.
And I
brought this up and I've noticed even the libertarian types, the boogaloo people, they're not lockstep with the cops, because the cops are the people who want to confiscate guns if it comes to that.
Yeah.
Right, and they'll, you know, generally behave on the behalf of the state, and people don't trust the state either, even if they're pro-Trump. Like, a big reason that people are pro-Trump is because they don't trust the state. And, like, a lot of people who, you know, are pro-Trump maybe are wanting to be fascists, but they still don't trust, like, the sort of order of things. And so I feel like the for whatever reason, the trust of cops or the support of like the actual police force is like at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the idea of, you know, blazing your own cop car as sort of an idea that like, oh, well, this will help our cause in any way, I can't imagine, unless the end goal is to just open fire on. Unless you're just like starting to just like, okay, we don't give a shit. We're just going to kill everyone.
Well, they want the fight, right? Like they're these jocks, and like police departments are like mostly just dumb jocks who realized this was the highest paying job they could get to be a dumb jock. It's like, oh, you gave me a badge and a gun? Cool. It's not hard to be a cop. So these are a bunch of like college football dropouts standing around being like, oh, I could definitely take that guy. Did you see that guy I handcuffed the other day? God, I wish we had a chance to bring out the SWAT vehicle we got at that military surplus auction. God, I wish we had a chance to call in the National Guard. Those boys really know how it's done. Like they want this. They want a fight. It's why they're leaving cop cars in the paths of protesters unguarded. It's why they're leaving pallets of bricks out in downtown areas during protests that are not near construction or any have no reason to be there generally.
That is correct. What's basically happening in a lot of cases is you see military hardware owned by police being used against rioters, and their regular hardware, regular cop cars, being left specifically so they can get rid of their, you know, 2012 Ford and get a new 2020 Ford at the expense of taxpayers. But the question is, what's going to happen when suddenly every major police department around the country, the question is, what's going to happen when suddenly every major police department in every major city around the country needs a new fleet of vehicles because they willfully let them get destroyed because they're so used to getting automatic money from the taxpayers that they thought they would get reimbursed for this too, and suddenly the money runs out because we're in a fucking depression. What happens then? Then the police have to turn to other means, and that means directly robbing citizens. And that means a direct war between the citizens and the police.
I mean, that's what it's going to come to. I can really only foresee a few ways out of this. Like, either they try and pull some shit where they, like, the pressure does build up and they try and rapidly legislate some social reforms and, like, give us enough concessions to, quote unquote, save capitalism or whatever, save white supremacy or whatever insane shit they're trying to do. And that might happen if Trump wasn't the president, but Trump's going to just escalate and escalate, and it's either going to be like a straight up revolution sometime in the next year or so, or we're just going to move to like textbook police state in the next year or so.
This was 100% a gift to the people who want to institute martial law, basically, what the cops are doing, because they are just giving up, and they're giving up in a way that is very easily able to be used to justify the military, the National Guard, moving in.
Yeah.
They're calling themselves citizen soldiers because, of course, as we know, service guarantees citizenship.
It's like everybody's wondering, like, oh, like we had a little bit of the Klan show up in Pittsburgh, and there have been some incidents of white supremacists showing up at these rallies. But I've also seen a lot of people being like, I'm kind of surprised that like the 3%er guys and the other like random right wing militia dudes aren't participating in this more. It's like, yeah, they have a day job where they get a badge and a gun. They're there on the clock. They don't have to show up in their camo with their shotgun. They're much better equipped than that already.
Yeah, and the ones that aren't showing up are that don't already work for the police. They're just chicken shit. They're pussies, and they were always LARPing in the first place. But at this point, we actually came up with some rules if you are going out and protesting to protect yourself, to make sure that you have a successful protest. And by successful protest, we mean you protect the other people that you're protesting with, you make sure to send a clear message about both the anti-police, pro-marginalized people, and class character of the protests, and you don't become a casualty of the forces of capital in these protests. So we came up with 12 rules for rioting.
Yeah, if you read 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson and you're like, life at this point seems a little bit different than Jordan Peterson thought it might be, this is B.B. Blettis's 12 Rules for Revolution.
And instead of an antidote for chaos, a recipe for chaos.
A recipe. It's literally, it may as well just be called the Anarchist Cookbook. Rule 1, how to make napalm out of styrofoam.
How to make a light bulb blow up when you flip the switch. That's the one I remember.
Parts frozen orange juice concentrate and gasoline, you can make napalm.
I also read Fight Club.
Yeah, it's actually not true, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
Delicious. Yeah, you can make a bomb mixed drink, though.
Yeah. You know what's a really cheap and easy bomb that most people won't even realize you're doing is you just put like one of those little like electrical timers in your pocket that like delays the signal after you plug it into the wall, and then you hook that up to a microwave and you put a can of beans in the microwave.
Ooh,
a sealed can of beans.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah. That's a nice little bomb.
Yeah. And then you just look like you're walking into the building with a microwave getting ready to make lunch. Who's going to think about it?
Nice. This guy's going to make us some beans.
Normal world.
What a kind man.
You know, if you're afraid to throw a Molotov, you can always, you know, a lot of these protests, they don't have porta potties. So bring a mason jar and, you know, a little Team Fortress 2 style.
Don't spoil my
Jarate.
Don't
throw a Jenkintov cocktail.
Yeah.
Let's not spoil our actual rules, because my first one was a joke. Do you want to get into your first rule for rioting, Todd?
Yeah. Who's going
first?
Yeah,
I'll go first if we want. Okay. Number one is de-arrest. Now,
yes. Oh yeah,
we have numbers in every single city. Basically, there are more protesters than cops. If you want encouragement, look up videos of people de-arresting their homies. If you have the numbers, you can come at the cops from all angles. This is strictly, you know, in a parody sense, and everything from this point forward in this podcast is strictly from a parody sense. This is
right,
all satire.
It's all a joke.
This is a Minecraft tutorial.
When you're pranking, when the cops try and prank you by arresting you unjustly, you can participate in a de-arrest, which is when you and your homies get together and distract, defuse, and otherwise de-arrest your homie by freeing them from police custody before they can get booked or frog marched into a squad car.
Right.
And we see this being used to great effect, first in Minneapolis, and it has also spread. And it's a classic tactic of protesters.
Yeah. I mean, de-arresting people is specifically why I wore all black to the protest, because if I was going to get a chance to try and de-arrest somebody, I was going to go for it. But the Pittsburgh cops seem to play by the strategy of like just going downtown and establishing like cop controlled zones. And then they waited until really late in the curfew to arrest anybody. So me and my all black and my lock picks I had in my back pocket were totally fucking useless.
Dang.
It's yeah, good but that you this have is those lockpicks.
Yeah, lockpicks are very good to have, especially if you know how to use them. Mm-hmm. This is a tactic that I have used once in a CSGO mod that came out in 2011 or 2013, I believe, called Occupy Wall Street. And in that mod, there was a moment where the cops were going to arrest my friend, and it's really just like two or three people coming. If you're like sort of organized correctly, you can sort of just run and push someone over.
Yeah, and because you're doing this in a video game, make sure that your mouse sensitivity is set correctly.
Yeah, make sure your mouse sensitivity is set correctly, and make sure that you're all wearing similar clothing and have masks. This is a great time to riot because you have to wear a mask. Please don't do anything without a mask. And you can just, especially if they are being arrested by just one enemy combatant, very easy to push someone over in that situation, and then pick them up and run.
Yeah, and you'll get points in the video game because it's known as an assist.
That's right.
Correct.
It's an assist. And, it's not a kill. It's just an assist.
You can actually string combos together with assists. They're a little undervalued that way.
And
like do a manual up towards the cops and then a kickflip and then push them over.
That's
and then
right.
You have to keep the grind going, and then you'll get like the 5,000 points for knocking over a cop multiplied by whatever else you do.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah, a skateboard can be a useful tool.
That's been proven
someone
several
has a sword.
Times.
Oh, man, sword guy. He's so funny.
And this first rule, de-arresting, leads into my second rule, which is that riot cops typically have very high centers of gravity. So they this is a game mechanic that was designed to kind of justify their weirdly shaped hitboxes. And in a lot of cases, they have what we in the hitbox design community refer to as a muffin top, where their the fat flaps of their torsos will spill over, and they'll basically be very top heavy.
Yeah,
especially when they're kitted out in riot gear, and because these police departments have, you know, they have the best funding, you know, they're connected to you know, gold farmers. They're able to purchase riot gear with better stats than you. You know, it's pay to win, and they're able to pay to win. However, those pieces of riot gear, they have debuffs where if you are tripped from down below, if your enemy is low and you have a high center of gravity, you can be put off kilter very easily. Especially if there's a group of enemies, and you can't turn around fast enough because you're all kitted out in this riot gear. So, riot cops, high center of gravity and vulnerable, to attacks that will set them off balance.
Yeah. And their hitboxes
in the game,
their hitboxes are very accurate too. A lot of the hitboxes in this game are really poorly coded, but riot cops, like where you see the edge of definition on them, you can strike anywhere on there and it will connect. So like you won't miss if you aim for the legs,
especially if they're bending over.
And my third, we've seen a lot of cases where cops are either, the cops will kneel with the protesters, take a photo op, and then like 10 minutes later, pepper spray everybody do mass arrests and lock everybody up in a paddy wagon. Or
dog shit.
There are these videos of like people handing over, you know, looters to the cops instead of being in solidarity with their fellow protesters.
Incredible cuck move.
Yeah, that is so insane. You're at an anti-cop protest. Don't give anyone to the cops, you maniac.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And also like, if you feel, if you want to take it upon yourself to, you know, show some leadership in this protest, don't do it by saying, oh, we should be nonviolent and, you know, we should obey the cops, because nonviolence, as it's been shown for decades now, doesn't get anything fucking done. I'm sorry. Nonviolence is pussy shit. It's bullshit. Nobody ever achieved anything with nonviolence. I don't care if you think otherwise. It is not the case. Any case in history where nonviolence seemed to have achieved something, it was always backed up by either the threat of violence or violence just off camera by the oppressed peoples against their oppressor. So pure nonviolence is pussy shit, and it has no place in a real revolution.
It's just admitting that you've lost before you even start, because the entire point of this protest is like the cops are murdering people for no reason, and to come out and protest against that and be like, well, we shouldn't be violent because only cops are quote unquote allowed by the state to be violent, is you're just legitimizing that formation, the formation where cops can use violence to protect people or protect and serve or whatever fucking bullshit story they're telling you. Like, if you're accepting that narrative, you're doing nothing to actually abolish the police.
Yeah. So my rule, if you see a photo op that's about to go on, ruin it.
Yeah.
Don't let the cops have a photo op. Don't let your fucking elected officials come in and do a big speech for TikTok about how, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. wouldn't have, you know, taken a pair of pants from Forever 21 or whatever bullshit. Like, who cares? Who cares about their photo op? It's not about a fucking photo op. It is about fighting both the police forces and the forces of capital, because the police are tools of capital. That's what it is about.
It's about justice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, who's next?
I can go. I'm no organizing expert by any means. I'm kind of a newbie in on the ground stuff, really, but the main things that I learned from the protest on Saturday is that bringing things for other people is really, really important. There were a lot of people doing a lot of really good work, whether it was standing up to the police or acting as a human shield for somebody who was more vulnerable, or, you know, whatever, just like being an organizer. But the people that I really admired the most were like driving around with like big boxes of little bags of Sun Chips and like cases of water in the trunk of their car and just handing them out to people and then going down to the next block and doing it again. And that let so many people stay out there for so much longer, and just over, it's like a morale boost. It's a literal material contribution to the safety and well-being and ability to like continue to protest of all the people there. And I I brought a bunch of extra water and I handed out a couple bottles, but like the next, if there's ever a next time, you know what I mean? Like I'm showing up with a couple cases and snacks for people because
right,
I want to be that guy.
If you boot up the game again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
If you ever turn on God mode.
Yeah. Creative mode.
Yeah. That's where creative every single person mode, yeah, will show up to riot with, well, you if you want them to.
Speaking of creative mode, that leads neatly into my next rule, which is to know your limits, because I was not in creative mode at the protest. My feet were mm-hmm. on fire by the end. I brought my stuff in a messenger bag, so I had to keep switching which shoulder it was on, and my shoulders okay. have been like fucked up for days afterwards. I didn't wear the right shoes for running around a lot. Like I just made a lot of mistakes, and I overestimated how in shape I am. That was a mistake.
Especially after 2 months of quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really pathetic, folks. I doubt I could do a push-up right now.
I definitely can't. I'm weak now.
I think I'm probably the only member of BP who is trying to maintain at least a modicum of body weight training during quarantine. I don't know. What about you,
four
push-ups,
Chris? In quarantine.
Okay, all right.
A few.
Chris and Todd. Yeah. We will form the Beep Beep's, you know, physical protesting vanguard. Right. And
if you combine the two of us, you might get a halfway intimidating guy, I think.
And Bryn and John will perform the metaphysical protesting.
That's right.
That's correct.
No, but this is a good rule. And it's sort of one of, let me do one of mine, I guess, just to bring up that. Knowing your limits is really important, and knowing what you're capable of. I think one thing is, and this is kind of a meme, you know, like we've talked about before, like what's your role in the revolution? Like leftists like to talk about this, and mm-hmm. like there's this whole sort of like dumb bullshit of like you gotta train and you gotta like get to be a big guy or whatever. And it's like,
for you,
this is masses of people. Like there's so many people, and like we all, you know, want to help, and we all want to be able to do what we can, but not everyone is going to be able, especially me. I'm an old lady now. I don't have the energy. I have no strength. I'll just die, you know, fodder. So I don't think just saying, you know, go to the front lines, get COVID, get killed by a cop is what everyone needs to do. And I think one of the things that you can do is during Occupy, one of the big things that I thought was really interesting that people sort of made up was doing comms and sort of tracking the police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very important.
Listening to police scanners. There's an app that's a very fascist app called Citizen. but it's basically also a police scanner. Like it shows where police activity is and where they're... So like that in tandem with police scanners. And then being in contact with people who are at the front lines or who are organizing. If you can get involved with people who are organizing, if there is anybody, you know, not every protest is going to be organized exactly. Like there's like the PSL or the DSA, or the DSA isn't organizing anything as far as I know, but there's definitely some like Black Lives Matter loose organizations that are, you know, sort of quote unquote running some of these protests, but a lot mm-hmm. of them aren't. So it's kind of up to everybody to organize themselves and, you know, organize around with people you trust and you know for sure. You know what I mean? Like, don't do this for people you don't know. You have to assume everyone's a cop, to be honest. But if you can't go, if you're sick, if you're weak, if you're disabled physically, like a good thing to do is to be on the phone with people.
Yeah.
If they're carrying a phone, have somebody at the protest who did bring their phone that is planning on not getting arrested.
Here's something, not to interrupt you, Bryn, but to add to what you're saying, like if you're not able to join on the front lines of the protest, be like, hey, 10 of my friends who are protesting, each one of the 10 of you, I will be your check-in person. If you don't check in, you know, check in with me when you leave to go to the protest, and then check in with me when you get back from the protest. If you don't check in with me, I will assume you've been arrested or incapacitated, and we will send people out to help you, or we'll go looking for you at police stations to try and bail you out.
That's really crucial. Like, I didn't even get that deep, like, in the shit in the Pittsburgh protest, but it was comforting the whole time to know that I had my fiance and Chris from the Mandatory OT pod was texting me, and I was like, I have two people who are checking on me fairly regularly. Like, I don't know, it just brought a sense of comfort, and it let me act a little bit more confidently and, like, not have as much shit on my mind while I was trying to make, you know, decisions in a protest environment.
Absolutely. And the more you know about like, being in Batman, Barbara Gordon is named Oracle when she's doing this for Batman. I always think about being Oracle, basically just like the person in a wheelchair at an enormous computer helping somebody do missions.
Or it's like old Batman and Batman Beyond. He's like,
exactly,
Terry's ear.
Being old Batman.
Mm-hmm. Except you're helping the Junker instead of the Batman.
Do it for the Junkler.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, the more you know about tech and, like, keeping safe, the better. You don't have to be out there, and sometimes you're better served, you know, figuring out how to use VPNs for people, making people safe. I mean, I don't know enough about that to really say what, you know, don't take my word for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, get a VPN on your fucking phone. Download a free GPS spoofing app. There's one called Fake GPS Free that I use for my phone. You can set your location to anywhere. If the cops want to look up your phone records, make it look like you were vacationing in France during the riot. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever you want to do.
Pretend you're like me on a normal day, just ordering food, and use an encrypted messaging app.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, but if you haven't downloaded Signal or whatever people are using, but that's better than Signal now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
WhatsApp
do that
is also end-to-end encrypted, I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, do that.
But yeah, anything that's like encrypted end-to-end, because otherwise cops can, I think they're called stingrays, just things that can like intercept like text messages on the way to a cell tower and like read them all. So assume anything you're saying in like a text message or a Facebook message or whatever is either being read by the cops immediately, or that the cops can just ask Facebook or Apple or whatever for it, and they'll probably give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll spoof. You'll see you suddenly have five bars, and it's like, that's not a cell tower. You have five bars and nothing's loading. It's because your phone is being scrubbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or scraped.
Well, speaking of scrubbing and scraping, my third rule is figure out where to use the bathroom early in the day, because I made this mistake. I went straight down. I walked straight from my apartment to the protest area, and about an hour in of chanting and marching and all kinds of really cool, invigorating shit, I realized I had to take a piss like you would not fucking believe. And I had to walk like 6 or 7 blocks before I could find a space where I could duck into an area where it was acceptable to take a piss, because pretty much all the businesses were closed. Like, there was nothing open during.
Yeah, that's why you got to put the catheter in before.
I will never debase myself to the level of a Final Fantasy speedrunner and use a catheter.
Do they do that to not have to get up and piss?
Yeah,
not a
I think a lot of gamers. I think a lot of it's an external catheter.
Yeah.
There you go. They're not like having a nurse come and like inject a needle into their
sound
bladder,
them.
Yeah. Ew. Oh man. I mean, people do long speed runs. It wouldn't surprise me if someone does something insane to like play for 5 hours straight or whatever.
They wear those weird things that they sell for like long baseball games, where it's like a bag you wear at your ankle.
Yeah, like you just goes down there. You just piss whenever you want, and then like your right thigh starts to get warm.
Yeah, gross.
Well, it's cold out. You know, it serves double duty. And also, if the cops throw you to the ground, they'll probably get piss on them. So, you know.
Well, making it sound a little better now.
Backup piss bag as a weapon. That's the pocket sand of rioting.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying, you know, a little jarate, Team Fortress 2 style.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
All right. I think mine were next on the order. So I went a little more wide angle with it. I guess mine are more like rules for revolution than rules for rioting. But
fine.
I kind of had like one rule that leads to a couple other sub rules. And whoa, the main whoa, one is whoa. Like,
Chris, I don't know if you're allowed to call this a revolution. I heard that white people were participating in the riots as well. So I don't think we're allowed to call it a revolution anymore.
This motherfucker's trying to use one rule to compare and contrast between his two other rules. This motherfucker's trying to do dialectics on our show.
Canceled.
Boom.
Yeah.
They were too razor sharp. I'm so sorry. But my overall one is basically like, you can't know what stage of the revolution you're at until it's over, or even if you would, you know, deign to call it a revolution. Like, the Rodney King riots, the Ferguson riots, uprisings, whatever you want to call them, weren't really revolutions. Nothing fundamentally changed about American society after them. And I don't really think you're going to know until years later if, like, you know, even if it is like a failed revolution, like if you take power and then lose it, like in the Paris Commune, if you take power and then someone invades you, you know, a different country goes to war with you, whatever the case, whatever's going to happen, like you're not really going to know in a week or a month or a year, like what the results are going to be of your actions, but you still have to show up and try your best and imagine that you can be successful.
It's like retrospect is kind of striated, right? Like, it's like I'm gonna be thinking about the protest I went to Saturday for the rest of my life, and all these events are gonna happen between now and like the next month, the next year, and everything, and it's all gonna get jumbled, and it's only gonna be like when I have the fucking luxury of sitting down and sorting through all of it that I'm really going to be able to analyze, like, oh, this is, you know, this is the moment where everything truly came to a head. And like, it seems so obvious in retrospect that, like, you know, 2 months after 100 cities, you know, protested and rioted, that the boiling point would finally be reached or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, the thing is that we can't know. I mean, this isn't being led by a party form. This is all sort of just, you know, very spontaneous. And that there's no, we don't even really know what people say, like, we want to our demands met. Like, I don't even know what the demands are. Like, I haven't heard anybody, there's no organization as far as I know. But I mean, but the thing is, like we saw with Black Lives Matter after Ferguson, there quickly will be. And I feel like one thing everyone always forgets when they talk about, like, oh, your party or whatever, like, don't worry about it or whatever, is that it's going to happen. Like that kind of stuff does start to pop up. It's like, okay, there will be immediately be formalized. And what's great is I think it seems like what I've seen online and online is that, you know, Black people and Indigenous people are sort of the ones forming those kinds of organizations. And what I've seen, if there are any demands, it's like defund the police completely.
Right. Because like all the other Black Lives Matter type demands have like proven to be completely useless. Like, I really don't think that anyone who's on the street now, maybe some, like, you know, very naive liberals, but like, so few people are going to think like, oh, if there's like a civilian review board or if cops can get arrested more or something, that like any of that will make a difference.
Actually change the
especially
the
those people who are like
country.
Who are like watching these same cops like shoot random people in the face with rubber bullets and tear gas and stuff. Like, after seeing that happen enough, you have to start wondering like what could a review board or really anything except for the removal of all their power do to stop these people. Like, these are just monsters at this point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they've been like doxing Bill de Blasio's daughter.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Like, the idea that the mayor even controls of New York City, the biggest city in the country, they have no control over
these maniacs.
He's basically
a fucking figurehead, and the cops are the ones that hold all the power.
Right. So, I mean, if we don't do something to stop them, we are headed directly towards police state, like real actual, you know, the chief of police is the president of New York City, kind of insane.
Yeah,
right.
Bullshit.
Well, I think that eliminating one of those positions and making the chief of police also be the mayor would eliminate some executive bloat. So I think that would be more efficient, actually.
That's small government, and I'm for it.
Yeah. Make him the mayor of a fucking jail cell. Yeah, I'm a prisoner abolitionist, but I think you do need to detain some very previously powerful people for some periods of time sometime.
Mm-hmm. You can be the mayor of a goddamn casket.
That's right. Yeah. In the video game.
In the video game we're talking about, which is called CSGO.
What's our next rule?
Oh, yeah. So my next two, like, related to the overall...
Yeah, just say them both.
Yeah. What is learn from past riots and imagine future riots. So,
there's, that's so tasty.
There's a lot. There's hundreds of years of history to draw from, of the Paris Commune, October Revolution, uprisings in countries all over the world.
Chile.
Yeah.
Iran.
Cuba.
Cultural
Vietnam
Revolution
War,
in China.
You know.
Yeah, the Hong Kong protesters, though they're reactionary, they might be reactionary. They've been literally trained by the CIA, so you can take their tactics and apply them and use them against American forces.
They do have a lot of high tech shit they can do. Yeah,
strategy is like a gun. It's literally about whose hand it's in.
That's right. And I mean, like, the whole thing with the Chinese protesters using leaf blowers for tear gas, for using umbrellas and actually having gas masks. Like, we have those stores. Those stores have them, and you're going taking stuff. Make sure you're taking that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right.
But I also really like this, Chris, because, like, you don't want to just learn from the past. You also definitely want to embrace, like, all of the technological shit that's happening right now, and like, we're on the verge of like some kind of like cyberpunk dystopia or utopia, and our imagination and being able to like think around the box and come up with innovative tactics before the fucking like hegemonic capitalist state does is going to be vital in making sure that we fucking succeed.
That's right.
100%. It's like, part of the idea I had with that is just that, like, you don't want to get boxed in by capitalist realism. Like, if you're really trying to do something that is revolutionary, that completely upends society, you have to, like, you know, imagine that the, like, wildest asks of your current protests are given to you, and then consider, like, well, what is the next protest going to be under those new conditions? What is the next thing we ask for if, you know, police funding is cut in half? Or if police stop having guns, you know, it's like, do we start just protesting at Congress? Do we protest at every governor's mansion? Are we protesting at Amazon? Who is coming to these protests? Like, what do we do when we have 10 times the numbers? Because way more people leave the suburbs or leave their, you know, isolation and come join the protests.
Problematic fave Murray Bookchin said, the belief that what currently exists must necessarily exist is the acid that corrodes all visionary thinking.
There you go.
I mean, right now we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic. Like, that's not going to be forever, it seems. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm very scared for everybody who's, you know, deeply entrenched in the uprisings. But, you know, hopefully not too many people get sick. Maybe we've seen the end of it. The worst of it, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Maybe all the cops get sick and suddenly there's nobody to beat up protesters.
Very interesting. Ooh. So be on, definitely. I agree. Be on the lookout of what could happen and what we could do. And then I think I sort of, my last two were sort of similar to my other one, and also kind of stepping on the toes of Todd's. But one was like, medical support is just as important as anything else. But also, if you have money, I know some of our listeners give us money for t-shirts and things. If you have money, like, you can buy things like green lasers. You can buy things like gas masks. You can buy things like leaf blowers or umbrellas or other upgrades to weapons that you could get in CSGO.
That's correct.
And then just give them to protesters. Go there and you know, open your trunk and let them have them. I think those things are really important, and only a few people doing those things could deeply change the course of history.
It's absolutely true. Like, you can donate to bail funds, and that's super helpful, and getting legal representation for people who get arrested is super helpful. But showing up on the ground with 50 gas masks in your trunk and just popping it open and saying, like, have at 'em, is going to do a hell of a lot more to help protest or a riot or whatever you want to call the situation you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So anything you can think of, those are, you know, if you have money to change the calculus on the ground, please use it. Not everyone is working right now, but if you're one of the lucky ones like me, who is working and is able to, you know, donate to bail funds, you know, buy, you know, utilities for protesters, that's a great way to be involved, especially if you're older or not physically able to participate in the actual walking. And then the last thing I think is, let's not underestimate how important being there to turn the tides of public opinion is. And it's not just posting, but, you know, arguing for, you know, or reporting on this in a way that isn't what the mainstream media is reporting on. Press is...
Well, like that, that Slate headline that was like, police erupt in nationwide violence. That was so fucking choice.
That's really it's important, crazy. Though. And I think that, you know, if you look at the 1917 revolutions, if you look at the Paris Commune, like the amount of propaganda that was around at the time was very important. And lots of people who, you know, from Lenin to De Bord, everyone who looked at it was like, this is really important. And so, I mean, I do think, I'm not saying that it's the most important thing to do, but memes are very important. I think memes got us here to a certain extent. I think that using the internet to create, to manufacture our own type of consent, to manufacture the consent that, hey, us rioting against police, us protesting, us, you know, violently defending ourselves is important and good, is created. You have to win the hearts and minds too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, any occupying force, any powerful army has always said, you know, the hearts and minds are important. And I think if all you can do is create a kind of consent, then that's something you should do. It's quite important, I think.
Also, I mean, something that I was thinking about the whole time I was down there, especially as I was using my phone to take photos and video, is like, you do have to be responsible about what you post, right? Like, I took a lot of care to make sure I didn't post any photos of anybody doing anything that was illegal or showed any kind of facial features that would help police potentially dox somebody and track them down and arrest them or anything, because I was very worried about that. Especially, there was one moment during the right after the second car caught fire where some dude in an American flag bandana mask showed up and starting shit, and a bunch of people, including myself, took their phones out and like were getting ready to videotape it, and a couple of the organizers were running around like, hey, this is when the phones go back in your pockets. And, you know, I didn't have time to think about it, so I just trusted what the organizers were telling me. But thinking about it in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense, because if the cops see that video, they're going to go after the organizers and the people on the ground who were fighting against this random, you know, disruptor of the protest, and definitely not track him down at all.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that is a very interesting conversation that people are having, because on one hand, I think it's very inspiring and gives people good ideas to see people doing things that are not necessarily legal. And I don't want those videos to not exist. I really enjoy seeing them, and I think it's important for people to see them. But at the same time, yes, we don't want people to be, tracked. Definitely blur people's faces out if you are going to do journalism on this, in this very trying time, if you can. Don't post anything that has people's clear faces. And I don't know. It's a weird thing, because you don't want to just be like, oh, well, the police are going to use it against us, so it's not good all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
it is good to
to
smash cop cars.
It's a balancing act, you know. It's a tightrope walk because you want to make sure that you're getting propaganda out there, but just like anything that you think would potentially contribute to a police investigation in a more material way than it would contribute to getting people excited when there's plenty of journalism and photojournalism happening there. Like, just don't put anybody's like life potentially on the line to get your clout up a little bit is all.
Right. Maybe don't post anything unless it's absolutely like, you know, at the moment necessary, like you're trying to get people to the place or whatever, you know, maybe wait until you get home and hopefully everyone is safe and then sort of go over it with your friends and comrades and say like, okay, is this okay to post? Is this okay? And like, well, you know,
and like hit up your friends who know more about video editing than you. If you need help, like blurring faces out or even just like cutting video down to shorter clips, like if you're a Beep Beep listener, you can hit me up. I have Adobe Premiere. Same. I'm not that good with it, but I can blur faces. Like,
I'm okay with it. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Get an Oracle, you know, get somebody who's at the computer and who can help you with it.
Every Power Rangers episode needs a Billy to stay behind at the base with Zordon.
you need the guy in the Matrix that it's on the ship. That's Tank. Got like 20 screens.
Yep. An operator.
He's the operator.
Yeah. That's an operator. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. And that's 12.
And, good luck out there. Be safe. Don't settle for nonviolence. Parody satire.
Yeah. Don't do anything I wouldn't do in a video game.
You know how we are at video games.
On the cops.
We always win.
Yeah, right. So play Mario Kart Club against the police and lose all them all.
So thanks so much for listening to this very special episode of Beep Beep Lettuce. I feel like we're probably going to unlock this one, I think. Not sure. If we don't, then feel special. But thanks
so much.
We'll
unlock it for sure.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. And, we're living in unprecedented times. I know it's nerve wracking. I know it's scary. I know it's very, very, very exciting. So please keep yourself safe, healthy, physically and mentally. Like we said before, don't push yourself. But have fun out there, you know? Do what we can. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we love you very much. We will see you on the free episode.
Beep on, y'all.
Keep beeping.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Love you.